and we blow the trumpet on the Sabbath, the first of the Sabbaths that we're supposed to count. And I'll put the study up, which is really important. Let's see, where is it? Okay, let's find it. There it is. Go right ahead, trumpeteers. Shabbat Shalom. That sounds very good. That was very good, actually. We are one Messiah congregation. That's Kahal Chad B'Mashiach. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God. Israel of God is Adat Yisrael. The Adat is in the construct form of the word, and that's congregation of. But anyway, Shabbat Shalom. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, forgive us for any sin, any blemish, any spot, any murmurings or any complainings, any bitterness. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day, this Sabbath. I praise and thank you, Lord, that we can do it again today while it's called today. Bless and anoint everyone here. Bless everyone on Pow Talk, everyone that would listen to this in the future when we put together our server tomorrow. Give me the understanding to put it all back together, Lord. There's so much to do. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, this day. Bless the study. I pray you'll touch and heal everyone that's sick and afflicted. And give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. We just thank God for the blood of Yeshua and for the word of God. And may God bless you today. And may God always be with you and lead, guide, and direct you in everything you do. With right decisions. We need to make right decisions. That's why we need to inquire of God. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. You know, I was reading, we were reading Deuteronomy this morning, my wife and I. I didn't get a chance to finish what I was saying. It was chapter 3, I think it was verse 6. But it was a very amazing chapter because we can't imagine this, but when God tells you to go take over the land, and Og, and he took over many cities of Og and all those people, killing all the men, the women, and the children. They wiped out everyone and took the land. And it's so amazing to hear that because, you know, we can't imagine that today in the way we're brought up and the way we're raised here. But I guess if we were in that mindset, we would be doing exactly what they did because we'd hate for anyone to grow up and want to kill us when we get, you know, we'd hate for anyone. I mean, you know, it's pretty amazing. But anyway, it's a pretty powerful book, Deuteronomy, you know. Anyway, this is the first Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. So you might say, like you should, where does it say that in the Word? Well, that happens to be in Leviticus 23. It says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. We're going to count seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So we did that. We're doing it right now, right? That's verse 15?
23:15 has
that verse. Oh, did I put the wrong verse? What verse is it?
Yeah. Is it Deuteronomy 23?
It says, even the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto Jehovah.
Okay. Error.
Okay.
So sorry.
Anyway, so without any distractions, we're supposed to count seven Sabbaths. There's nothing in these two verses about counting omers of wheat, right?
No. It's not about omers.
Right. So you wonder, all the geniuses out there, it says, and you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it shall be a holy convocation. So this holy convocation, this feast of weeks that we're going to be doing in 7 weeks, it's another time for everyone to get together. It's a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work therein. It is a statute forever in your dwellings, in all your dwellings throughout your generations, right? And this is one of the three feasts where everyone had to get together, right? Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
here we are at Maple Street, and so far we haven't really gathered a crowd here. Seems to be we're the same few. We did have a lady call the other day. She was in Gallatin, Tennessee, and she was going to get online, but she never did, that we could see, and she never showed up either. So, you know, maybe one day we'll see her. But here we are in Holland Vault, Tennessee. There's our phone numbers. Lord willing, by Monday or Tuesday, probably by Tuesday, our website should be up. There's my email. You can always email me. you guys know my ministry is a teaching ministry. Some people can't. They don't have the aptitude to listen and learn. They like a quick message that they're used to, like how great you are. Give me a tithe and I'll see you later. Oh, wait, I've got to sing a few songs and then I'll see you. But anyway, I've been trying to undelete some things for you. My servers, Lord willing, we've got all the new parts in. I'm looking at them over there. They're just waiting to be assembled. And once I assemble the whole thing, and then I have to do everything else, there's a lot of things that have to be achieved. Anyway, for your convenience, all my studies will be viewed again, Lord willing, on these websites. And you'll be able to listen to them at will, or view them again as videos, or download the MP3s. However, until then, we're in a room called Pow Talk in the Christian section, and we're streaming right now, I believe, live, so you could probably see me right now if you have a real player. If you ever want me to come and visit your congregation or people that you assembled that you want to learn the Hebrew roots from from the scriptures, I'd be glad to come. I have lessons on that. I have slides on that too. I miss doing all that because we haven't received any invitations lately. Today's April 22nd, and that's 2017 in the 21st century. And the reason why I'm really dating everything, because we notice in the Bible no one dates anything. So I'm trying to date everything to the fullest. We're almost finished with Aphrodite's month. And pretty soon God's first month will be over, Nisan, which is found in these verses right here, Esther 3 and Exodus 13. Pretty soon we'll be entering Ziph, which is April the 28th. Remember, it starts the evening before, right? And that'll start the second month of God. That's not too far from now, isn't it? Because today's the 22nd. So, what day is April 28th? That is Friday. It's Friday. And I happen to be born on April 28th, so I guess I was born this year on Ziph.
That could change for you, too.
I know. I was either born in Aviv or Ziph. Anyway, and you can prove the name Ziph right there in 1 Kings chapter 6. And the reason why it's nice to prove this, because our geniuses in Judaism and Messianics, they're calling it Iyar, which is found nowhere in Scripture. Okay? So mark your calendars pretty soon. You could start your own calendar in the second month there, April 28th, and put that's the first day of the seventh month, right? I mean the second month, called Ziph, not Iyar. Well, we got one feast left, which is the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest, known as Pentecost. Most people heard of Pentecost. They just never heard of the Feast of Weeks or Harvest, which, again, you have to read your Bible to get all this information. And that's 50 days from the first fruits, from the resurrection of the Messiah. Obviously, some Messianics and Judaism, they're still counting the Omer, which is ridiculous. So remember, we're counting weeks, Sabbaths, not Omers. Everyone should know an Omer is a sheaf of barley and maybe a sheaf of wheat at this point. And there it is. There's all the names, right? And there's two Sabbaths in a row. So we'll be together for two Sabbaths in a row from Friday night to Sunday night, which is another, to me, happy time. Because this last Feast of Unleavened Bread was very nice, this last, because we were all here in one accord and, you know, it just felt nice, like a real feast. And we all went home, like as if like when we used to do the pagan holidays, like when the when it was over, the pagan holidays, it felt just like that, except it was the feast of God. And then, of course, at that point in time, it's offering time again. Three times shalt thou keep a feast unto me in the year. There's three times that we give an offering pertaining to the feast. You can give an offering anytime you want. And it doesn't matter how much you give. You can give $1, $2. Everyone's got $1. Anyway, thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. We ate unleavened bread 7 days, and I sort of miss it already. And he says, as I commanded you in the time appointed in the month of Ha'aviv, and it says, and none shall appear before me empty. This is when we came out of Egypt. See that? And the males had to bring the offering. The males had to all show up with the offering of God. Of course, their families came too. But it says every male should show up before the presence of the Lord with the offering. That's basically why it says the male. And if you don't have a male, you bring it yourself. And the feast of harvest, the feast of Pentecost, the feast and the first fruits, the wheat of thy labors, which thou shalt sow in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is the feast of tabernacles. So these are the three feasts. Three times in the year shall all the males appear before the Lord Yehovah. And we do appear before God, and I guess we're always in his presence. You know, he's ever present. You know, I can't think of a time when he's not available for you to call upon or think about or pray or ask him which way should I go or what decision should I make or whatever. Also in Deuteronomy, there it is, three times in the year shall all the males appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose. And he spells it out pretty clear there. Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's the first feast. Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says, and they shall not appear before Jehovah empty. And we bring an offering to God, you know, whatever you want to bring. Every male shall, and this is what he says right here, every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of Jehovah thy God, which he had given you. So I guess if you have a whole bunch of crops, and you can bring some crops, or whatever you have, or some cattle, or some, you could bring that too. Like nowadays, people just give offerings of monetary offerings, you know. So, but I mean, this right here, you know, obviously if God blesses your land and blesses your cattle, and you could bring anything you want. You ever notice the kings gave like 15,000 sheep and 1,000, 50,000 rams? And anyway, Leviticus 23 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them. So if you join the Israel of God, you're part of the children of Israel now, children of Jacob. And this is concerning, what I'm talking about, this is concerning the feast of the Lord, of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. They're sacred assemblies, they're public meetings, with times when we get together, no matter where you are on the planet, everyone left and came to Jerusalem. They stopped work, stopped everything, and came. And so far, with our congregation, we've been starting to do this fully now, because God given us more of an understanding, these feasts and the holy days. We proclaim them to be holy convocations. These are God's feasts. Six, and then, of course, he goes right into the Sabbath, which you guys fully understand. The seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You know, a lot of congregations just do a service, and then they go home. They don't even spend a 24-hour period, which, and not only a 24-hour period, but the seventh day, you know. So these feasts of God are holy convocations. We proclaim in the correct season. And we're just like Moses. We declare unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. That's verse 44. Anyway, I want to get right into today's subject. Maybe you forgot about this. We are on our approach again. 7-week journey to meet God spiritually, you know, physically and spiritually. How will you be behaving yourself these 50 days, you know? So, remember, you're the temple of the living God and the light of the world. That's what we always have to remember. You know, the world's pretty dark. Without us, I don't know, there's not too many people out there keeping the commandments. I notice we haven't received any guests yet today, but who knows? You know, I know everyone's got to make a decision what to do. We're going to, actually, spiritually, we're going to be going from slaves in Egypt to the people of God. You know, just think about that, like our brothers and sisters. And the more we learn every year, the more we apply And we don't get upset. We don't get, you know, we don't get mad when God shows us new things or gives us more discernment or, and, you know, revelation of his word. We get excited. So more we're getting out of this slave mentality to the people of God. A 7-week journey to consider again, to receive the giving of the Torah, the law, and the Ten Commandments, and the Holy Spirit. And may God always be with you. This is just a 7-week thing to think about as you're traveling. Just think, we just got the leaven out, sin, right after triumphing gloriously, and murmuring started. Murmuring always starts. Some people just want to do their own thing, and we feel keeping the feast is a commandment of God. So, you know, not to keep them would be what?
Sin.
Sin, yeah. So people that don't keep the feast and don't do it as it's prescribed, they're sinning. So don't murmur. Exodus 15. This is when Moses sang, and the children of Israel, that's this song unto Jehovah, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto Jehovah. He had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the people went out after her with timbrels and dances. So here they are, elated, you know, very excited, very just very happy. God moved in their lives. Miriam answered them, saying, sing you to Jehovah, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he had thrown into the sea. And Moses brought, it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. This is just 3 days later. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. That's what Marah means. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Some people don't think that's murmuring, you know. But they have other questions in their heart that maybe they didn't vocalize. But these people vocalized it, you know. Exodus 16, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, this is the second month, the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Didn't take long. 3 days and then a whole month later. Now they're just saying it. They're just, and this is what they said, besides, you didn't give us water to drink. They said unto Moses, would to God we had died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They forgot they were just chased by Pharaoh and his army. How could you forget that? They forgot God just split open the Red Sea. They forgot God brought them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, with 10 plagues. I mean, think about that. We're living by faith, but these people actually saw the physical. Isn't that amazing? Then said Jehovah unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rain every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my Torah or no. That's how simple God talks, because he knows we are simple brains, you know. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that Jehovah had brought you out from the land of Egypt. Just think, they didn't even know it. This is like a month later. They forgot. I don't know how they could forget. They all walked through the dry land with the waters on, like pillars of waters, you know, like a wall on both sides. That's to show you how spiritually delirious they were. He says, God's going to give you the bread, and then you're going to know he had brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory, the kavod, Yehovah, for that he hears your murmurings. God knows your hearts, your murmuring. oh, I want this and I want that in my life and I want this and why don't I have that and why don't I, you know, that baloney. God hears your murmurings against Jehovah, and what are we, you know, that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when Jehovah shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For Jehovah hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Jehovah. Some people go, well, you know, Holinvol is a little far away. Or some people, like, you know, some people call us from Nashville, then they just can't make the trek here. They murmur, you know? And Moses spoke unto Aaron, and say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Jehovah, if he had heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the kavod of Jehovah appeared in a cloud. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah your God. Here's Exodus 17. This is another length of time, which is not too long. And the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, Where is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Wherefore is this? And you have to always watch the mixed multitude around you. You know, make sure you follow the faithful ones, the ones that are keeping the commandments. Exodus 12:38 says, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, in flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And the mixed multitude always tries to blend in, you know, with the people of God, you know. Nehemiah says, now it came to pass when they had heard the Torah, the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Call Erev. See that? That's the mixed multitude. They separated themselves from them. Numbers, going back to Numbers again in the Torah, 11. And when the people complained, people are always complaining. Oh, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's not soft enough, it's not hard enough, it's not long enough, it's too short. You know, I hear all these like murmurings, which they don't even realize they're murmuring. Oh, this is not my style. This is not my personality. This is not my, they're not my whatever type of person I was brought up with. They're, you know, murmurings. I hear murmurings, you know. I just go along with the flow, whatever comes in front of us. The people that God brings in our congregation, I never go, well, that guy's not my, he's totally different to me. I'm not going to talk to him. You know what I mean? I go along with the flow. And then then from now on, when they're a heretic after the first and second admonition, bye-bye. And when the people complained, it displeased Jehovah, and Jehovah heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of Jehovah burned among them and consumed them, that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. They thought they were hiding way in the back, far away, you know. They were far away, and they thought they were getting away with it. God hears your murmurings wherever you are. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto Jehovah, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of Jehovah burnt among them. I mean, God could send you, He could send you a lot of things, sickness, ailments. He could send you loneliness of heart or depression. You know, God could send you all kinds of stuff. Taberah, burning. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And instead of the children of Israel correcting them and reproving them, the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? They forgot about God. Well, we don't like that. I don't remember them ever saying, let's pray unto God and God will answer our prayers. I mean, let's pray to God that God will do this and God will help us with this. He's aware of our situation. God is aware of every one of our situations, right? He knows exactly who we are, what we need, not what we want. Right? We remember the, these guys say, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. We ate it for free. We were slaves. They just fed us. Cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. Got to have the garlic. And that garlic wasn't made in China. These people murmured. They said, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Oh, boy. If I was God, that would make you really mad. It says in Psalms, he gave them angels' food. There it is, a soft souf, mixed multitude, gathered up together. That is a promiscuous assemblage of people, a mixed multitude. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was as the color of bdellium. And the people went out and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. I can just imagine, you know, I mean, if I had to eat baked, unleavened bread for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. And when they drew, it says, and when they drew, when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, a manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. The people didn't even stop their families and their wives and children. Every man in the door of his tent, they were just crying with the mixed multitude, like a bunch of horrible people. The anger of Jehovah was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And I get displeased when I hear different murmurings and complainings, and sounds like different things that are not correct. And Moses said unto Jehovah, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest this burden of all this people upon me? Have I considered all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to eat unto all the people? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all the people? Moses, what are you saying? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Talk about a man under, that must have been unbelievable. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. And if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. And Jehovah said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the spirit which is upon you, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of Jehovah, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Oh boy. Some people think their last life of sin was a lot better than this. They always look back too. They're always looking back to different things from the past, you know, and they have wanting eyes, you know. It was well for us to live in Egypt. Therefore, Jehovah will give us flesh. It says, therefore, Jehovah will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils. And it be loathsome unto you, because you have despised Jehovah, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Some people go, you know, man, why did I find this congregation? I mean, these guys are too strict. They're orthodox. Why did I even come amongst them? I mean, it's so easy other places. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to sacrifice them? Suffice them? And Jehovah said unto Moses, are you forgetting who I am, Moses? These people are getting you delirious. Is Jehovah's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto you or not. I don't need you to do anything. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Jehovah and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and sat them round about the tabernacle. And Jehovah came down in a cloud. He always comes with the cloud, huh? And spoke unto him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. They prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, saying, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, or Yehoshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all Jehovah's people were prophets, and that Jehovah would put his spirit upon them. Amen. I wish that I could find people that knew as much as we know, and what God has showed us. I don't like just being the only person up here. I wish there was more people. I wish there was more people that could go out and, you know, say these things and know these things. Matter of fact, I'd like to meet people that know more than us. And Moses got him into the camp and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from Jehovah. It's all it takes, a wind, and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side, and it was were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high on the face of the earth. Can you imagine? That's like about 25, a cubit is what, 21 inches? It'd be like over 2 feet high. 3 feet high. Over 3 feet high to quails. Yuck. Ugh. And the people stood all day. They stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of God was kindled against the people, and Jehovah smote the people with a very great plague. Wow. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Ah, that's pretty scary, huh? And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. Wow. So I also could tell people, you know, some people, I notice even today, there should be some people here, some guests, but some people are hasty to get, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rested in a bosom of a fool. Don't be hasty in your spirit to be angry. And don't say, like they said in Egypt, or that they wanted to go back to Egypt, don't say, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? I never say that. You know, I thank God for everything he's given us now and everything that he's put us in, the situations he's put us in. And I wish I could do more for God. I wish there was more people to talk to and more people calling us and more places to go visit people. And I wish, you know, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this, that you think the former days were better. Some people go, oh man, I miss my old life where I was raised. Oh, I miss the whole setting. I don't care. I like being with the people of God. You know, I have a vision. I see a city that's not made with hands, right? Saul tells us, Corinthians 10, Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That's the time of Noah. And we're all baptized unto Moses. And this is what happened when they went through the Red Sea, in the cloud and in the sea. And they all did eat the same spiritual meat. And but they didn't even know about the spiritual meat, you know? And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. Even though they were doing it physically, there was a spiritual element that they didn't even see. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. They couldn't even see him. It says, but many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. I was reading that this morning with my wife. We were reading how all the people, it says, were consumed in the wilderness. You know, that's just amazing. The people, you know, they wandered around in their little life for 40 years, lost in their sins, and then at the end they still didn't repent. Now these things are, unfortunately for them, but for our benefit, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You know? Some people are always saying, well, you know, I wish I was in a different place, or I wish I was around different people more of my caliber or my style or my personality. No, I'm happy I could be with everybody, anyone that's here. Neither murmur. Don't murmur again, as they did in Numbers 11, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel went along with it. They all wept too. Who shall give us flesh? Remember that? I read this before, but it's worthy to read again. Because these people, they missed the fish that were in Egypt given to them freely. I mean, they actually forgot going through the Red Sea. They forgot God delivering them. They forgot the 10 plagues. They forgot how Pharaoh had them in servitude. They just were thinking about the onions and the garlic. And they were disgusted with the food God gave them, or whatever God gives you. Whatever God gives you to eat spiritually, you have to just take it. And neither be idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Boy, that was in Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto them, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Some people must be wondering, what has become of us that the server's been down?
Yeah.
You know? What happened to them? They must have wandered. Some people I know wandered away from us at this point because we don't even see them anymore because there's no more website. It reminds me of this, you know? They brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which is a big mistake, which are in your ears of your wives and your sons. Get your sons' earrings too, because you guys came from Egypt, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hands and fashioned it with a graving stool. He went out of his way, Aaron, to make a just plain out idol, a molten calf. And the people, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that? And Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. That's all an abomination. It's all an abomination. And here's the part in Corinthians that we were just reading. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Isn't that sick? Back to Corinthians 10. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. And they fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Messiah as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Remember that?
Yes.
Numbers 21. And Jehovah sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Oh, and that's the whole thing in Numbers 11, when the people complained, it displeased Jehovah. And you can read, their quails, what was before it was even chewed, the wrath of God came and sent a plague among them. Numbers, back to Corinthians 10. And this is something we should really take in consideration, that we actually have this letter and utilize it correctly. Now all these things happen unto them, the weasels that were in Egypt, for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So wherefore, let them, whoever you think you are, that if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. That's really important. They had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But some people go headlong into it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters, flee from idolatry. Paul tells the Philippians, do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons and daughters of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we're supposed to shine as lights in the world. So we like keeping the feast all together. And we like being assembled. And we enjoy being a light to this world. Right?
Yes.
Amen. Make sure you prove all things. Paul tells the Thessalonians, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You could prove any time that these are the three feasts of God. Everyone's supposed to be together. And everyone went to Jerusalem, and they didn't come empty. I remember a long time ago, some people didn't like you have to get an offering. Remember that? That's really sick. 2 Timothy, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a work person that needs not to be ashamed. And you have to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. Some people just read the letters and the gospels. We read the whole thing, the whole Bible. Now that it's called a Bible, when they put it together, when the Gutenberg press was created, and then later they put the whole thing together. If I had my druthers, I would love them to keep the Torah separate and the prophets separate. And other books separate, and then the gospels separate, and everything separate, and then had all these collections. That's the way I would have did it. Make sure when I depart from this planet, you don't put my website in a book and add it to the Bible. Paul tells the Colossians, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every person. And that's what either the people out without the Lord or people with God. You have to know how to talk to people. You know? It says, chapter 3 says, let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly with all wisdom. We're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Jehovah. We try to correct people with the word, you know. We don't correct them in our own flesh, our own spirit. We don't want to get angry in our own spirit. Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. Some people just try to grow in grace. What up? And in the knowledge. When God gives you more knowledge and understanding and discernment and revelation of his word, of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And Paul tells the Romans, which is very fitting for today, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what does really God want me to do? Ask him. Does God really want me to be with the people of God on the three feasts? I think yes. Does God really want us to even gather together on the Mikra Kodeshes? Yes. Does God want us to do these feasts? Yes. I mean, you know, there's a yes. I get affirmative to everything I even ask. I can almost hear the answer in my mind. I don't get like, no, just do your own thing. So watch who you are following. Nowadays, you have to really watch what you're doing. Don't go on to the Hittites and Amorites for advice or fellowship. But there's people of God around. Make sure that you're ready to meet God in the third month, Sivan, and all the time, actually. Remember, the Feast of Harvest, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost is coming. This is our first Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. So Shabbat Shalom, all. I'm not going to read the how to keep the Sabbath, because you guys know how to do it, because you're here.
We're doing it.
And I hope you got something out of my study. It's not too long today, but it's really potent, because we have these letters for our admonition, for unfortunately, now they're examples. These people's lives are examples of things for us to do, things not to do, things to say, things not to say, how to act, who to be with. And we have to treat everyone equal. You can't favor one person over another person. I have to treat everyone with no respect of persons. I have to treat everyone the same. Otherwise, you become partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts. You know, the Bible, we don't want to be partial. Remember that? Anyway, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm going to shut that off. I'll say God bless everyone today on the Sabbath. And may God lead, guide, and direct us to 7 weeks again to meet you, Father, and to receiving of the Torah and the Holy Spirit. And may God always correct us and lead, guide, and direct us. May God bless the rest of this day, the food, the singing, whatever we do. Let it be to the glory of the living God. And Lord, yes, Father, we'll be as strong as we need to be. And if that makes people run away from us, so be it. But we're going to keep your commandments and do what you say. And without apologies or excuses or alibis or winking of the eye or, you know, we're just going to do exactly what you say, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Any questions or comments?
I just thank you for the very timely message. I think it's very important. It's a good time to fast from complaining and murmuring and to walk circumspectly and examine ourselves, taste our words before we speak and so forth. But thank you, and Shabbat Shalom to you all. God bless you all. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you too, Zach and Jacqueline, and have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath. And anyone else have anything to say? Otherwise, I'm going to say God bless you, and we'll be back, Lord willing, a little bit later. And, oh, I forgot to shut the audio. Let me see.